It's going to be a quick show. It's the news. Pretty much. Yes. Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday morning. It's going to be a quick morning. Hopefully, I get this thing posted today. I'm kind of under the gun here to get things done really quickly. But actually, I do have a little bit of time, I guess. However, I wanted to take some time to do the show. And it is Wednesday morning, 6:38 Central Time, 7:38 Eastern Time. I'll let you do the math on the West Coast. And we have Wednesday, March 29th, middle of the week. It's been a flurry of activity here in my department. I've been doing a lot of stuff. And I've been trying to keep up on the news. I've had a fairly good opportunity to keep my ear to the ground, as they say, and know what's happening on the news front. And more importantly, I've been really cognizant of what's in my cup. I have a interesting blend here. This, well, it's not even a blend. It's just I've got an interesting combination, I guess, of things. I got water, which is always good. I've been drinking a lot of water. I've been doing a lot of when I'm on the road like this, I have a tendency to do more exercise. It's interesting because I don't like being cooped up in a hotel, and so I do tend to walk more. I tend to get out and walk. I either walk or I run. I don't like to jog. Jogging just seems like it's hard on my body. Can't stand it. So I either run sprints and then walk fast in between, or I just walk fast. Lately, I've been doing a little bit more walking than in fact, I had to take a little bit of time off that because I was out running sprints the other day and I popped my ankle pretty good. I hit something wrong going across a step somewhere. And it was black and blue a little bit, but it was painful initially, and then it went away. But then, of course, the swelling comes in, and it's still swelled up a little bit. But it's been the key. I think the point. I think the everything I've learned online. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist, not a virologist or a financial coach, financial counselor. I have no authority in certifications of any kind of men at all. I guess I had a couple of them. I'm a certified scuba diver. The one thing that I guess there's this RICE principle. It's RICE, rest, ice. What is the other one? It's compression and something else and something else. And they've determined that actually the guy who developed that program, who came up with that idea, has actually recanted on that idea. So if you do sprain your ankle, the best thing you can do for it is movement, believe it or not. Gradual movement, you know, that's not painful, just kind of re-establishing the ligaments and that kind of thing, keeping it moving. Now, don't let it just, you know, stiffen up on you. So keeping it elevated is good. I think that was what the E was for, elevation. I think it's, compression and elevation. Elevation's not a bad thing. You know, that helps keep swelling down. But that if you elevate it, you need to keep it moving is a bigger issue. And not letting it, keep that helps more than anything. Keeps the range of motion, redevelops your ability to develop range of motion. And, of course, not to do anything that causes pain or that could possibly injure it again. Sprains are sometimes more difficult to heal than even a break. However, my mind wasn't broken, but it was definitely pretty good size, pretty good sprain, and kind of concerned about it. Of course, I was out in the middle of nowhere when it happened, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to get an Uber back to the hotel, but I ended up being able to walk fine. I kept walking after that, and I was able to walk just fine. So I've been kind of laying off some of the sprinting lately. But I do still do stairs, and I still do all the other things. So I go up and down flights of stairs. I think yesterday I did 21 flights of stairs, I believe is what it was, something like that. Maybe more than that. No, it'd be more than that. 29 flights of stairs, I guess. All in total for the day. And I didn't even include the stairs I went up and down at work. So there's a couple flights there. So there you go. So probably over 30 flights yesterday. Which I think I feel like I get the most benefit from. I just don't like impact activities that are hard on knees and joints and back. I don't like that kind of stuff. So I was going to go out and I was going to do a little bit of workouts this morning, but it's really been, it's kind of cold out there today. So I'm going to even take an Uber over to the training center instead of walking, because it's just a little bit chilly. I'll probably walk back. Anyway, regardless of all that, let's get into a little bit of the news. I got kind of short show, hopefully, already, you know, gone long. It's already 5 minutes in. I have a couple things I want to talk about. One is this case of the individual who, late individual who attacked a school in Tennessee. I'm not going to comment on it too much at this point. I'm a bit concerned. If you can't really be a living individual and paying any attention at all, if you don't not realize that the news media is tripping over themselves to try to figure out how to cover this story. Here we have a, yeah, they're tripping over themselves because they don't know exactly what to say, how to describe the individual, the motives of the individual. Of course, they're covering that up by covering up the manifesto. I think Tucker Carlson hit pretty hard on this last night on his show and on Tuesday night. And I hear that kind of thing, and okay, he's got one side of the point. I think that there's some rhetoric that needs to be, you know, we need to understand exactly more about what's going on here. I do know that, from what I understand, and I've looked into this. I heard somebody make a comment, and I've looked into this a little bit more. The claim was every school shooting that would be considered a mass school shooting, not just some gang fight shooting, kids shooting other kids, which that also typically involves drugs as well. But these acts of just random shooting, taking over a school kind of things, have been the common denominator has been psychotropic drugs. People who are under the care sometimes of a doctor, and or they are under the care of they're somehow taking, not that in this case I think there was heavy steroids involved, but there was also other psychotropic drugs that for issues. And in some cases, you know, people benefit from this kind of thing. I think if they're administered properly, of course they're probably getting some kind of benefit from it. The problem is, I think there's there's no accountability back to doctors who should be recognizing some of these issues. And Mr. Reagan had put out a show. I think he posted it this morning. His name's Sean. I can't remember his last name. He on YouTube, and he hit pretty hard on this issue. He hasn't been pulling any punches. It's been kind of surprising how he doesn't always get away with it. Sometimes he gets booted off of YouTube. He's been trying very carefully. And it's been interesting to see some of people's reactions. And I'm not gonna wade into it just yet. I may save this for possibly. I might actually have time. I'm not sure how this is going to work out because some things changed yesterday with my schedule. Friday morning was supposed to be open for me, and at this point, it does not look like it's going to be open. I was going to actually hoping to have a Friday morning live show. That looks like now it will not happen. So I may have to go in early on Friday morning. So that being the case, I may be able to do a live show later in. Well, no, I won't be able to do a live show later in the day because I'm going to be heading home on Friday evening, and that won't happen. So I may have another show over the weekend that I will post possibly on Monday morning I'm not going home on Friday evening, come to think of it. I'm going home on Saturday evening this time. So maybe sometime on Friday I will have a chance to do the show. I have, it'll be an interesting weekend, let's just say that. I'm not sure I'm going to have a chance to do a live show Friday morning, just to keep you informed on that. So I, in my other cup, by the way, I have sweet tea. I have sweet tea in, and it's from Denny's. Denny's restaurant. Right next to the hotel here. And it's, this place is, there's a lady who works there who's just amazing. She is the host. She's the waitress or waiter, server. And she's also the busboy. She does everything out there. Older gal, has hard time walking. She has some physical issues, obviously, but she is pleasant with everyone. And there's one cook, one person cooking. And they are keeping this place going. It is pretty amazing. Now, they don't always do the best job. Sometimes they fall short a little bit, but she, you know, by herself, she is running this place. Last night, I think they had about 20 people in there, and she was taking care of the whole bunch. Pretty amazing. The other thing that typically happens is that and surprisingly, the tea was good. The food has always been good, and the tea is good, and it's just been amazing. And service hasn't been slow. It's been, I mean, it's not super lightning fast quick, but it's also not extremely slow at all. They get things done. They're cranking out the food and cranking out stuff. So that being said, I have Denny's sweet tea in my cup here. She said, "Do you want a cup to go?" I was like, "No, you don't have time for that." She said, "Oh no, I'll get you one." So she ran off, got me a sweet tea to go. So, okay, well then, bigger tip for you. So, I just happened to realize I didn't have my vitamin C, so I'm putting my vitamin C in my mouth right now. So you can hear that sloshing around there. That's always pleasant. I want to talk about a few other things. One is this Trump case in New York. It is absolutely absurd. Everybody knows it's absurd. What bothers me the most about it is that it is, of course, now Trump has come out in an interview with Sean Hannity, and he's attacking Ron DeSantis quite frequently and quite aggressively. And I don't know why. I know that Trump knows why. Trump is more calculated than the left would give him, and the never-Trumpers would give him credit for. There's got to be something he sees here that causes him to either feel threatened or that he's strategically working out. Now, Ron DeSantis has not announced a run for president. By doing so, he would put himself into a position of direct competition with Trump. I don't think that's what he wants. I don't know if Trump is trying to egg him into the race or if he is... One of my theories, I know this is crazy, but that's who I am. I am certified and crazy. One of my theories is that he has a deal with Ron. That somehow this feud between the two of them will work to one of their advantages, and I'm not sure exactly what that all means. Now, maybe Trump is going to step out at the last minute and Ron's going to step in. Maybe Ron is going to become his VP. Maybe he wants Ron in the race to keep the rhetoric from the media. Trump knows how to play the media. Now the media, you know, they attack him constantly, but that's, so he has to know how to counteract that all the time. And knowing that he is an expert on the media and promotional things, that's what drives him. You can't watch an episode of the Apprentice and not see where he is in that respect. See how he looks at that in terms of success. And So I'm curious if he, what his motivation is here, how, what his strategy is, because I'm sure he has one. And it's not about he sets and plots and plans. It's, this is who Trump is. It's not a matter of him plotting and planning. It's just he operates by his gut. He has no real ideology. So he's just operating by his gut instinct constantly. And because of that, I think he's somehow in a position where he's being motivated to do what he's doing, which I don't understand. I don't necessarily think I would do it in this situation, but I don't have his life experience. I don't know. His life experience has got him to where he is, obviously. And I have to respect that. So that going on, there's also the case in Georgia. I think there's a case in Georgia as well, because he called and asked them to find some votes. Every politician has done that. He wasn't asking them to find votes that were illegal. It amazes me the same thing that happened, and the left does, and it's very, very typical. And I think Mr. Reagan even said something about this morning. He said, if you want to find out what the left is doing, just ask what they're just look and see what they're accusing their opponents of, because that is actually absolutely what they do. Well, Hillary Clinton comes out and says, no one is above the law. Well, she is. John Stewart was being interviewed the other day. He came out and was making comments about how, Trump, needs to be prosecuted because, we don't have the rule of law anymore. He was making a derogatory comment and kind of an ironical on the other end, he's kind of making a comment that was sarcastic, but he was obviously had a point to it. And what he was referring to is that Trump, needs to be prosecuted for that we need to uphold the rule of law. Even Jimmy Dore was appalled by that, because he was, going to go after somebody with a bogus charge, and yet you're letting all these other people off the hook in the process. Now, if he would include all of that in there, that's one thing, but it's not. He's not doing that. He's just going after just the rhetoric. He's just following along in step with all the other rhetoric that Trump's a bad guy and needs to be prosecuted for this misdemeanor that's already, the statute of limitations have already run out, and it's a trumped up, it's a bogus charge to begin with. It's the reason the FEC, somebody looked at it already, SEC maybe, looked at it already and already determined that it was a non-issue. This was a non-issue. And yet, they're going after him anyway. That's how ridiculous these charges are. So that continues to be an issue. And of course, he comes out and kind of pushes back on that on the Sean Hannity interview. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I listened to most of it. It was interesting. I was listening to a body language expert who analyzed his interview, and he was very straightforward and very angry, very resolute during that whole interview. Didn't run away from anything. Didn't back down from anything. Was basically face forward and leaning in and very angry. He's about the way things have, the way things are going in this country right now, basically, with regard to just the ridiculousness of the left and how radicalized they've become. And one of the things that they're saying, this radical MAGA crowd, which when Biden comes out and talks about this radical MAGA crowd wants to, he says, we need to make things in America now again. We need to bring back, we need to stop doing things with China. This radical MAGA crowd, wants to outsource everything. Excuse me? Do people actually believe that? It has been under Democrat rule. Democrats have been the ones who have outsourced everything to China, who've made it possible and encouraged it, as well as George Bush, actually. George Bush, too. Clinton started this whole thing. Well, actually, Nixon actually started the whole thing. Clinton saw the opportunity that was there and opened the floodgates. He was making buku bucks from the Chinese by allowing them in the door and allowing them to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. Then you have the individual, then he's talking about how, really? The whole point of the MAGA movement was America First, was pushing back on China. And he's coming out now and turning that around, saying, oh, no, we're going to start doing things in America now. It's, what? It's outrageous, ridiculous rhetoric. It's just the opposite of what they stand for. Again, it's just they take what they're doing, they turn it around and make it sound like this is what our opponents are doing. Russia collusion, for example, Hillary Clinton, the Steele dossier, all goes back to Russia. Ukraine, the Ukraine interference, and yet it goes back, and that's what Trump wanted to find out, was what Biden was doing in Ukraine. And he makes a phone call to their leader and said, we need to investigate this. This guy's bad news. He's corrupt. Well, he's on record being corrupt about having a prosecutor fired. When have we ever done that? You got to fire that prosecutor or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. Now, the CIA does this, don't get me wrong, it does happen. But when do we ever make that our policy? When are they standing around being proud of that? Apparently now. Very, very disturbing, in my opinion. And we have a geopolitical melee right now. There's so much going on. If you look into what's going on, of course, everything that's happening here with the shooting and everything that's happened, look to Israel right now and see what's happening there. There is unrest like they've not seen in a long time. There's unrest in France. There's unrest in Britain. There's unrest all over the place. Protests have just risen from leftists, from Antifa-like organizations, and they're not a certified. They haven't registered down at the county courthouse as an organization. There's an idea. But, folks, they are an organization. They are organized. And it comes from one individual whose last name rhymes with Soros. People like that, the social engineers that are out there. These are definitely the individuals that are funding and organizing these things, these open society people, all this stuff that's going on. They're being paid to do this stuff. You know, protesters don't just show up, leave their 9-to-5 jobs, the normal working class individuals out there. And now there were some protesters that showed up, I think, over the weekend protesting in New York. I think they were protesting the trial going on, or this whole issue going on with Trump. But it's the ones who burn the place down. And now think about this. A Supreme Court judge would not want to touch anything to do with the election because riots. Well, we don't want to see cities burned down. Oh, so you're going to give in to these people. You've let them win because we don't want to see the riots. This is, Mr. Reagan made this point. It's exactly that right. The mafia comes in and they say, hey, if you pay us to protect this place, you need to pay us to protect this place. $300 a week. So we need to protect you here. Because, it'd be sad if somebody came in here and burned your place down or robbed you every week. That'd be terrible. So we'll give you protection. We'll make sure that doesn't happen. Pay us $300 a month or a week or whatever it is. Pay us our protection money. We'll make sure that doesn't happen. But if you don't pay us, we can't guarantee anything, this place may burn down. That's what they're doing. Well, this is the same kind of tactic. If you go against our motives here, you stand against it, well, we'll just burn your city down. The riots are going to come out. All of a sudden, people are going to riot. They're going to throw a fit and burn everything down. And why would people from their city burn their own city down? That's always a good, big question I've always had. It's like, why would you do that? These people need unrest because they need to have the society, the traditions and they want to blame everything on capitalism and our constitution. They hate our constitution. They hate our free open market. And in the process of all this, they also want to. The reason they need to tear it down is because it needs to look like it's not working. And it worked all the way up, you know, for a couple hundred years, and all of a sudden it's not working. Well, it's because it's capitalism. It's terrible. It's corrupt. No. In fact, Jimmy Dore said something this morning that it's, I have to disagree with him. He said something about the banking institution, how somebody will inflate their, because this whole thing was something about, you know, Trump inflated the value of his properties to get a loan, and then he, you know, deflated them for taxes. This is standard practice everywhere. Now, you don't just inflate your property on your own. You don't just say, well, my property's worth, I don't just walk into a bank and say, I have a property that's worth $20 million, so you have to give me a loan for, you know, I just want a loan for half that, $10 million. No, you can't, they appraise it. They have people come in and the bank protects themselves in those situations. They'll send out an appraiser. They'll look at it. They'll look at the value of the properties. And they know that property is probably going to go up in value. So they're not too afraid of extending a little bit of grace to that figure. Maybe it's not worth $20 million. Maybe it's worth $18 million. But they'll go with the $20 million because they know in 2 years or 3 years that it will be worth $20 million. So they've got some flexibility on that. You know, they'll have a high and a low on their assessments. But they don't just willy-nilly let you decide what you're valuing your property at so you can get a loan. That's not the way it works. Who of you have ever been able to do that? Just walk into a bank and say, well, my property's worth $300,000, so therefore I want to, you know, borrow $280,000 on that property. No, there's appraisers. Then there's the issue of, he says then that the tax issue. Well, he said for taxes it was only worth $10 million. It wasn't worth $20 million. Whatever. I'm just throwing out random numbers. I'm not sure exactly what he even said. To pay property tax, you know, he reduced the value of the property. Well, for years, the county assessor in our area, anyway, always valued our property. A county assessor came in and said, this is what we're assessing your property value at, and this is what we're going to charge you tax on. The property value was always based on quick sale price. And it was always a lot less than what I would ask for in the market. In many cases, it was half what I would have asked for it on the market. I had a home that, I had property for a long time that I paid the price I paid. The assessor assessed my property at about 50 to 60% of that. Just a little over half what I paid for it. That's just the way it works because it's based on a quick sale kind of valuation of the property if it were condemned, basically. They had to quick sell it. Now that's changed because of, well, in my area, because of some state laws that have changed, and they've now they come in and they've raised their rates and they've raised their valuation of properties. In fact, at one point they doubled the value of my property and wanted twice as much in property tax. So I basically went downtown and I said, this isn't going to fly. So if you want to pay me that much right now today, I'll give you everything. I'll give you the property and everything in it for that price. If you think it's going to sell for that, there are buildings across the street that are much more valuable than mine. And they've been trying to sell their properties for less than what they were valuing mine at. And for over a year, those have been for sale and they haven't sold. So no, it's not worth that much. It's only worth what the market will bear. So, yeah. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. Now, I'm getting kind of dry here on this talk, but I want to say all of that just to say this. That's not capitalism. Jimmy Dore said, that's capitalism. No, that happens in every kind of society, whether it's Marxist, socialist, now a pure socialist economy or communist economy. Theoretically, that couldn't happen. The problem is you've got people in charge of it, and that's there's where the problem is. It's always the cronyism. It's the corrupt people at the top who are the makers and breakers, who decide who are going to get the deals and who are not going to get the deals. They decide what your property's worth, and that's what it's worth. And that's how things are valued, by based on them. And that's where you run into the problem. The open market is not the problem. This has always puzzled me. People like Jimmy Dore, he sits there and talks all day long about how corrupt the government is and how the government does this and the government does that and they're wrong about this and they're wrong about that. And in big pharma, big business, whatever it is, big anything, and yet he wants to give the government, let them exercise more authority over individuals to take care of the little guy. Yeah, we need to take care of the little guy. Well, the only way to really do that is person to person. You just can't do that. You can't put more power in a centralized government and expect them to be able, with all the bureaucracy and the corruption in every level, that's going to happen because there's people involved. And there's going to be cronyism involved. People are going to be paid off. And I'm sorry, but not everybody is as moral as they need to be. And it's just not going to work. And whether it's a communist system, socialist system,
democratic socialism,
whatever it is, even in a capitalist society, you're going to have cronyism within the government. And that's just the way it's going to be. Now, the more we can eliminate that and hold people accountable and have regulations and laws against that kind of thing, that's great. But open markets are what has brought this country to where it is today. But they vilify that.
Oh, it's a bunch of capitalists, evil capitalists.
Well, there are evil capitalists and there are good capitalists and there are evil Marxists and evil socialists. So these are all things that I think we have to step back and listen to what the rhetoric that we hear sometimes or the things that we say sometimes and realize that some of these issues are human issues, not related to a political, particular economic system necessarily. Now, one other thing I want, the world unrest around the world. This is like George Soros's, well, not, you know, hopefully I can mention his name without being censored by anybody. The things that are happening are not, this is kind of like his playground. This is what he lives for, toppling governments and bringing in his philosophies to fill in after the unrest. This is his MO. And again, we have, you know, the talk of a digitized currency and all that that involves. It's just it should raise one's ears a little bit to see all the things that are happening and the way things are culminating here. We are running into a very serious time, in my opinion. Now, one other thing I think that needs to be talked about, which is a little bit of a left turn, is the current administration, the current POTUS, P standing for puppet. One of the things that nobody is mentioning right now, and it appears that Biden just keeps on going. Everybody expected him to fizzle out by now. He keeps on going. I for one, when he first got elected, I thought he wouldn't last a year, maybe, you know, two. In his second year, he would be, you know, they would be replacing him with Kamala. I think part of the problem is they don't like Kamala now. They thought that they would be able to groom her and get her into position. She's not liked by anyone, even on their own side. Now, she's still claiming that she's all, in for the president, and she's going to run. If he runs, she's going to be there with him. That's what she's claiming right now. That's, of course, their claim. You can't take them at their word. Now, having said that, I think that the powers that be behind the scenes, the bureaucracy who tries to manipulate and control everything, and if you don't believe that, just talk to Andy McCabe. Peter Strzok. Now, Andy McCabe now actually has a job working for, I just saw him again on the news on MSNBC or CNN, whatever it was, being asked questions about something. I don't know what it was. By the way, whatever happened to that whole document scandal thing? What happened there? Nothing. It's all gone now. Crickets. They played it out long enough. They denied it. Went away. Is there even an investigation going on with that whole thing? Don't know. Nothing's happening with that. But being a person, one thing I am, I would say I'm not maybe an expert at, but I have a certain ear for, is people's voices. And I have to say this. Listening to Joe Biden speak, I'm hearing something in his voice that I don't know that anybody else recognizes. He is struggling now. The amount of slurring that's going on is even as increased. The percentage of words that he slurs has increased. He has a much harder time when he's off script now than he did. But even when he is on script, he is hanging on for dear life and being able to read a teleprompter. All of that combined with the tone of his voice. Now, let me be clear of this. He is tired. He is worn out. He is in decline. His ability to physically move. He did this little thing the other day where he always likes to do this little thing where he jogs up to the microphone. Does a little jogging thing right before he goes to the microphone. This is very typical. Now, he used to jog for long distances. Like he'd jog for 25 feet or so. Now he just takes like two or three jog steps. He's done. But he's physically, mentally, emotionally in decline, and I can hear it in his voice. If anybody thinks that in a year and a half from now that this guy's going to be able to function as a president of the United States, elected to a 4-year term, they're out of their minds. But again, this doesn't matter. Federer, for example. They're championing him. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Making him out to be a champion. Because he's checked himself into a mental health care facility because he's got depression. No, you can leave the Olympics because you have an emotional issue and you get your picture on a Wheaties box. But let's call it what it is. You're brave or whatever you want to say about it. Okay, let's give them credit where credit is due. They needed help and they got it and they sought it. I don't know that it's to be celebrated. It's to be protected and it's to be, you know, there needs to be empathy, but there, you know, this idea of elevating someone to greatness because of that, I think that's a little bit of a wrong message we're sending. I think it's a little bit wrong to embrace that as something to aspire to. It seems a little ridiculous to me. But that's just me. I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychologist. Just seems a little ridiculous. And I think that whole thing comes back to this whole idea, like the prosecutor under the Trump in the Trump case. This one guy what's the guy's name? Can't think of his name. Interestingly enough, after he comes out with all these things that are going on, he's coming after Trump and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden he gets an envelope with white powder in it. They're trying to kill me. Look, these terrorists, they're after me. Now, again, Gretchen Whitmer. Under the gun, under fire for what was happening with nursing homes. What was happening with COVID. And all of a sudden, there's this plot to kidnap her. That was hatched by the FBI, by the way. All the informants were the ones who were pushing that to happen. The FBI assets were the ones who were pushing the other people into this. Going along with it. It wasn't their idea. If you just have to watch, look, read the trial transcripts. But she got empathy from people. Oh, well, we have to defend her. We have to elect her again because these vicious people were trying to kidnap her. Somehow that makes you a good person. I don't understand that. Somehow that makes what you're doing is right. That's two different issues. And yet that's where it goes. And I think when I first heard about this thing with he received powder in the mail. Who thinks of that kind of thing? Who does that? And we will never find out who sent it. They will never break that case open unless they can find a lackey to pin it on. Maybe they already have somebody to pin it on. It's one of those things where I don't believe for a minute it could have come from one of his staffers. You know, it could have come from anywhere. Well, we need to do this to make it look like he's under attack. So we can get people on our side to defend us. So people will rise up and take notice. That's the kind of games these people play. Because again, the end justifies the means for these people. They have no morals. They have no principles. Power is their what they want. They want to be at the top of the piggy pile when this whole thing falls apart, and then we go into a communist Marxist takeover, which I think is what their goal really is. They're positioning themselves. And with, I believe that right now, I don't think that Biden, like I said, I think his energy level, his physical status, I think is declining. Usually when I hear this in a person's voice, it starts to become very, very obvious within a matter of months. Now, I know that they're giving him all kinds of physical care that is helping to boost his abilities. But I personally, I'm pretty sure that what we're going to see, they're not going to be able to cover this up by the end of the year. They may be able to stretch him out a few more months, but I don't think he's going to be physically in any kind of shape to start a campaign year at the end of this year. His physical decline, I think, is imminent because of what I'm hearing in his voice. I could be very wrong. Maybe he's just tired. But it goes beyond that. It's his ability to speak. I mean, Tucker Carlson has been burning the candle at both ends lately, and I've noticed his articulation of his words is alarmingly declined. But it doesn't have the... It's a tiredness. It's not a physical decline. What I'm hearing, along with his body language from Biden, is a physical decline that is wrapped up in his mental decline. So, having said that, I think it's just we need to really be paying attention to what's happening, because I think there's some major changes going to be happening. Now, there's a group of individuals, this one, I don't know if I talked about it last week, I think it was the president of Kenya, came out and said things are going to be changing in a couple of weeks. One of the things that's going to change is the way they're talking about a consortium that's going to depin the dollar from a lot of the oil that's being traded in the world. And I don't know how that's going to impact things. In order to keep that from happening, the FBI, or the powers that be, the CIA, NSA, all these other individual companies, all these intelligence organizations that are out there, would have to get involved and start something, some kind of a conflict to trigger that, to counteract that. Now, there's, you know, I'd like to say more about the whole Ukrainian thing as well, Ukrainian war, and how the intelligence agencies are using that to benefit themselves and what they're doing with that whole situation. But I'm not going to get into that too much more today. I've already gone much longer on this show than I intended. I was only going to go about 30 minutes long, and it's 45 minutes now. So I do appreciate everybody listening. I know it's been short. It's, you know, it's been long times between shows. I do want to get more into some of the conspiratorial aspects of what I would call the big pharma, big government manipulation behind the scenes of some of the things that are happening, especially with bioweapons, bioterrorist type, or just the manipulation of society through big pharma and the way they're trying to take that over. It's because I had some interesting emails from some people that are on that track, and I think that they're valid. I think in their concerns. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more. And I think my other podcast, when I get that up and going, once I get through all this this training stuff that I'm going through right now, it should be by the end of next month, I do plan to spin the wheels back up on the other podcast and hopefully get that thing rolling, because I've got really good resources now. The biggest thing that was holding me back on that was having resources. So we'll get more into that a little bit. And that probably will be more of a topic for that particular podcast, but we'll get there. But once again, folks, thanks for listening. There may or may not be another show this week. Hopefully there'll be a live show on Friday, but I can't guarantee that because I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do with my schedule here now that things have changed, because something broke yesterday and I had to reschedule some things. So that has changed everything now for the rest of the week, I think. So we'll see how that goes. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening. Take care. Keep praying for our nation, pray for our leaders. God bless, and have a great week.